Alex, you should reread what you read out of Ephesians. That would be good.
So,
And read it slow.
I know, right?
He wants to read the whole.
Can I say one?
You know what? Read the whatever you want
to
do.
This is I'm only sharing this because I think it could be. I would think it would encourage y'all as well. And so, what was the even just quick thing that he shared about us being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which is just absolutely remarkable. It's amazing. It's like, oops. You know, like, it doesn't really be true. But that's the amazing thing. It's absolutely our reality. Even if we're not even looking even close to that. Mm-hmm. That's what God says. That makes him holy, I guess. Anyways, whatever. But Ephesians 1:15-19 is what I read last night, and I was really touched by it. So it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in love with all saints and sovereigns, beloved all saints, cease not to give thanks for the mention of your prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and which is what we're getting to know now, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, it says, that you wrought in Christ when you raised up from the dead. That his power to us were the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And it's in us and through us. It's just so beautiful. Anyways,
keep going.
Oh, keep on going?
Yeah, there's a few more decent verses in there.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to pull them up. You want to read it? You got it?
Yeah, it just continues in 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I mean, you could just... It's like to me, when you read like Ephesians and Colossians especially, it's like, what do those books even mean? I mean, those books are really, truly otherworldly. What he just described right there is, you know, where does it say? There's another one. Is this where it is where he says it's far above what we could ask or think? Yeah.
I think that might be, maybe.
That's another one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that's Paul. That guy, he knows everything, but he's going, I don't know anything. Right? Exceedingly abundantly. Paul uses those terms all the time. Remember when he said, and because of the exceeding abundance of the revelations that I got, so that I would not be excessively exalted, superlatives, all over the place. How else can you talk about God?
Yeah.
But that's what he did. And it's like I didn't really even study what to say today. I mean, what are you going to say today? It's a wreck today. Everybody's saying everything and nobody's saying anything because nobody has any authority hardly. Actually, that's not true. The world has authority from Satan to speak. They have lots of authority. If man rejects God, God gives man over, as Lynn said, to a strong delusion, to a stronger delusion. That's the power. That's a power of darkness that God is granting. So that a man who typically would have a mind, would have reason, is becoming unreasonable, bestial. Like reverting, like going further down into the hellish darkness. And you're starting to see it. You're literally starting to see it. It's like Goliath slowly forming. It's like when the sun's coming up and you're trying to see and you can't quite see. And you think there's a tree, you think there's stuff. And then all of a sudden, but you can see. You couldn't tell when you saw, but you kind of could see all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's the way this is. It's like it's a mystery, right? The mystery of iniquity. And it's taken form. It's actually being pieced together, and you can kind of see it. Whoa, and you see it. You just get a little glimpse of it. Remember, I was walking with Jeremiah one time, and we were walking in Arlington, and he looked at me. He said, "This place is haunted." He said, "This place is haunted." And you know what? This place is haunted. This place is haunted. But he was also talking about our own selves in our flesh. There's like monsters in there. Scary things in there. Dark things. That's why, you know, little kids get scared of the dark, right? You know, there's a reason they're scared of it. That they already know something. They know something. Whoa. How'd they know that? I mean, how did they know that?
Yeah.
And it's like adults tend to forget that because we've like built up walls. We got all that stuff walled out, right? So we're not, quote, afraid of that stuff. So I've been thinking for 5 years, how do you even talk anymore? How do you talk? Look, this nation's already been evangelized. This nation already knows the Bible. What are you going to say? What are you going to say to the church? What's God going to say to me? Forget those guys. How about me? I don't know like a scholar, but I know enough to know something. And I'm going, wow, it's like I've been thinking about it. I've been really, really thinking. And the more I thought about it, the quieter I got. Now, Lynn probably wouldn't say that, but because I'm always ranting and raving about something. But there is a quietness slowly encroaching, you know. And I've been thinking, how would you talk? And it's not a light thing for me. I mean, I've been seriously thinking about that. And I realize, you know what? You can't. You cannot talk. Unless you have authority, you may as well not talk. Now, you can talk. You can, in your family, to yourself, because God's working that out in you. You can't just sit there on the edge of the bed and not do anything, right? But I love what you did this morning, because what was that? What is Paul's prayer? That's an intercession. He is interceding for the people of God. Remember in another place in Galatians, he said, "My little children, for whom I am again in the travailing for you in prayer out of my guts." That's a woman in labor, right? Travailing. He's out of his guts. He's pushing the Spirit. He's saying so that Christ might be formed in you. Isn't that amazing how he put that? A woman forms a baby in them and then they push it out. He's saying, I'm forming. I've been given authority to form Christ in you. And I'm travailing. I'm piecing him together in you by the intercessions of God. the groanings of God. I don't even know how to pray. Paul said, again, an amazing statement, we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit groaneth. That's what a woman's doing in travail. She's groaning, man. She's producing like a mystery. What is, how'd that happen? Good grief, we're just used to it. But we never should get used to that. That's a mystery, man. That's astonishing. Are you kidding me? In your own likeness? A grasshopper didn't come out? Seriously? After its own seed? My God, and they even look like them. They'll have the same eyes and know or whatever. It's all pictures. Yep. It's all pictures so that God can talk to us. We know what sons are. We know what daughters are. We know what marriage is. We know what a woman is. We know what a man is. We know what hate is. We know what love is. We know what darkness is. We know what pain is. We know what love is. We know what joy is. We know what sadness is. God created all this stuff so He could talk to us. Because we don't see upstairs. But we have the idea. But Paul's saying, no, I don't want you to know it after your own mind. What did he say? He said, what did Paul say to the Galatians? And Paul is a guy, he knew something, right? He was not an idiot. This guy was, he's like Moses. He's exactly like Moses. He's set at the feet of Gamaliel. He's the top guy. He's the best guy they got. I mean, he's a brilliant. He's the cream of the crop, just like Moses. But it's like he said the gospel I preached to you. What did he say? He said I did not receive it of man, and neither was I taught it. Well, then how's it going to come? You ain't going to get it then. That's all this world knows. There's no other knowledge then. It's not going to happen. But the Jews had that knowledge. They were taught it by man and they received it of man. Natural wisdom. They had already reduced God down to just a message. Just, you know, 614 laws. Just whatever it was. Whatever it is. Buddhism, Hinduism, Catholicism, Christianity. It's all philosophies. It's all nothing. It's all vanity. That's what Paul said. He said the old covenant is nothing compared to the glory of the new covenant. Nothing. Well, that would be offensive to the Jews. They wouldn't like that idea. Well, too bad. Too bad. So he's standing here and he's, look what he says. It's so powerful, man. This guy knows everything, remember? And he said, that's all dung. That's all. What's he saying by that? It's odious. I can't stay in the same room with it anymore. It's so disgusting. We just put that in the sewer immediately. We don't want to see it. We don't want to smell it. And you go in a private room. Just, that's not for public consumption. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. What'd that get me? Let's see. I was killing people in my craziness. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's what he said in Galatians. He said, the gospel I preached to you, I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word means uncovering. The uncovering of the glory. The seeing of it. Not reading a book. Not reading the Bible. He didn't read the Bible to get that. As a matter of fact, he said, you can't get it from reading. You can't get it from teaching. I remember one day about 6 months ago, I was in my room and it just came into my head and it kind of freaked me out. I said, I thought, wow, I'm not teaching myself anything anymore. And it was really weird. It's like it was strange to me, because that's how I learn. I mean, I will devour something. I may not look like it, but if I want something, I'm going to chew that thing completely up. I'm going to get every little speck, every tiny detail, according to my ability, which may be great or may be small compared to somebody else, but I'm going to do what I can. And it's like I realized, well, I didn't get it. I couldn't get it. When I was about 40, I realized, wow, God, I can't do this. I can't get it. And it was devastating. Like, really, most people would say, well, just go down the road. It's not that big a deal. For me, it was. Because that, to me, is it. I don't want anything else. I'm not interested. But I told the Lord, I said, wow, God, I said, I don't know what to do now, because I don't want any more teaching. I don't want any more Bible study. I don't want any more knowledge. Is there something else here? And if there isn't, I'm going to be very angry at you. Let me tell you. I'm going to come at you if that's all you got right here. But I knew, no, it's all right there. But I say what I think to God. I say what I think, and He likes it. He's not offended at that. Because He knows, hey, this guy's taking me serious. I like that. He's an idiot. But he'll grow up. Give him a little more time. He'll be all right. But that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, I'm praying for you that the spirit of revelation and wisdom that you will see, that it won't be words. It won't be in a book. It's a living word. Where's the living God? Where's the living God? I'm going, you know what? I don't know. That's a little bit tough. That one's not easy to come by. Right? But that's what Paul's praying for him. He's praying for him. He knows that God. He's seen that God, and he is revealing that God. And so as I was thinking, you know, about just how you even talk today, I came down to, wow, you have to have authority. You have got to have authority. And I mean, that's what Moses did. That guy showed up one day. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, he walks into the UN. You know, they're having a big meeting, got all that huge round table they have, you know. And then they got all this bleacher sitting with all the nations sitting there, and this little scrawny guy walks in there. That's about what it would have been like, right? Some scrawny guy saying, hey, you need to quit dominating and enslaving people. You know, you need to quit misinforming and creating a bunch of chaos and a bunch of lies. I know you're the Pharaoh, which means darkness, which means that's all you're capable of. But God's saying, stop it, because I'm not going to put up with it anymore. These are my people. Can you imagine that? No. But that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. That's what he does in you personally, and that's what he does in the church, in your family, and that's what he does in the world. Now, where is that God? You know, we can easily point the finger, well, you know, whatever. No, I'm looking at my own life. I'm going, where's that God in my life? Where's that kind of knowledge in my life? Where is that authority in my life?
Hallelujah.
And because I had an earlier thought in the week. And it's not discussed a lot, but it goes with this. And it has to do with offenses, being offended. And I remember there's a scripture, and I don't know where it is in the Old Testament, so Kim Wright's probably going to give me a call if she hears this. But God told the Israelites, he said, because you didn't want me close to you, you did all sorts of things that would defile yourself so that I would leave, so that I would sadly walk away from you because you wanted to live in your own way, to do your own thing. That's what he said to him. He said, you did that on purpose. You knew my heart towards you, but you went your own way and you polluted your own self so that you knew I would have to leave. You knew in my loving kindness and my holiness that it would break my heart, but you didn't care. You wanted to go your own way and do what you wanted to do. It's in there. And it's in there in no uncertain terms, and it's all over the place if you just look at it. So, and in another place, it says this. It's either, most of this is in Isaiah or Jeremiah. It says, he was being Israel, and he was saying that she, Jerusalem, she said, since I started serving you, I don't have wheat. I don't have barley. I don't have stuff. I don't have what I need. You have failed me. You have not come through. I don't like you. You've not been a good husband to me. I wish I would have found those scriptures because they are very strong. They are very strong. That's what he was saying in their heart. That's what they were saying to him. See, if you just read it, well, they just got into sin. No. No, they got offended. They got offended because he didn't answer the prayers. He didn't come through. He didn't do what they thought. So they got offended. And then they went looking for another husband. Then they went looking for another covering, another provider, another protector. Do you see that? But that wouldn't happen to us, right? We wouldn't do that. You know what? The people who love God the most are going to be offended the most. The ones who are the closest to God, those are the ones fixing to realize that they don't understand what it means to be a bride, what it means to be married to God, to love God, and to let Him love us. Do you think we're going to be better? Do you think we have a flesh like the Jews had? Like the body of death? Yeah, we do. It's still there. It's in Romans 7. We may not be old men like they were, but we have a body of death that's still enslaving us to the carnal nature until God mercifully and graciously deals with us so that our souls can marry the Spirit. And not the flesh, not the body of death. The soul is producing fruit out of whatever it's married to. Is the soul married to the body of death? That's the flesh. That's a fleshly soul. That's a carnal soul. One married, still not cut loose from the body of death. Cut loose from the old man. Not a sinner anymore. But still carnal. Paul said that to the Corinthians. He said, ye are still carnal. You are still carnal. So you can be a Christian and be carnal. As a matter of fact, that's what baby Christians are. They're carnal and there's no problem with it. It's okay. Babies, what do? They just mess up everything, right? They don't know yet. They got food all over their... They don't even know. They're not even unhappy about that. They're not saying, oh my God, get me a rag. This is driving me nuts. They don't even know. They're oblivious to it. Isn't that crazy? It's like that's the way a baby Christian is. They're just sinning all over. For somebody looking at them who's gone through everything, it's a mess. It's a total mess. But the father, the guy who's been through it and had somebody clean his diapers and do all that, they just clean them up, just wash them up. And just love on them and keep them going. And then they grow up, hopefully.
But this offense thing, it's like Paul, he had a problem with it. He had a problem with that. He started getting offended.
It's like, let's have a look. It's in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 12. That's when he's talking about his visions, right? When he was taken up into the third heaven and all. Does somebody want to read 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 6?
It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth it.
I love what he said right there in 6. He's got it exactly right. I mean, so right. He said he knew he was an apostle, but he said, don't think above me what you both not only hear in me, but you see. Hear and see. In other words, it's not just what I'm saying, it's what I'm doing. You have to have the doing. If you don't have the doing, there's a problem. There's a problem. And that's the problem we have in Christianity today, because only a man who has authority, true authority, can do. You see that? Anybody can say. Anybody can learn it. Anybody can lay it out. But can they do it? You can only do it by the power of the Spirit. That's a man who has authority. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, before I came, he said, I determined not to know anything but Christ and Him crucified. That was it. He said, why? So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power and demonstration. Power and demonstration of the Spirit. Boom. Boom. That's the doing. That's authority. That's authority right there. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Again, it's so tight. It's so perfect. Remember when they let the guy down through the ceiling because they couldn't get in? I love this scripture so much. And when he got, it says, when he saw their faith, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And then there was some Pharisees there, and they didn't say anything, but in their hearts they were saying, that guy's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sin. Well, you know what? That's what any reasonable person would have thought. I would have thought that. I darn sure would have thought that. And Jesus knew they should be thinking that. And they were thinking it. So he looked at him and he said, which is it easier to say? So he's talking about the saying, right? Right? But where's the doing? He's talking about the saying, but where's the doing? So he said, he could have said, I know that there's no way you know if that guy actually just got his sins forgiven, because only God can do that. You're right. But I'm going to prove something to you. I'm fixing to prove something to you by what I do. Not by what I say, but by what I do. He said, so that you will know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. And because he said before that, he said, what's it easier to say? Your sins be forgiven, or get up, take up your bed, go home. Then he said, so that you will know that what I said earlier is true, that I do have that what? Authority.
he said to the guy, get up and go home. Can you imagine what those people were thinking when that happened? Are we so used are we so used to God that we wouldn't, that we just pass over that? To all the stories and just, yeah, well, you know, pass the potatoes, you know. You know what I'm saying? Pass the potatoes, we know all that. Do we know that stuff? Do we know that stuff in our own hearts? Have we seen that we're a paralytic? That we walk in the flesh and we're paralyzed. Paul said in Romans 7, he said, I'm still carnal. I don't know what's wrong with me. What is wrong with me? I'm not. It's not me. The sin's not. He said something crazy. He said, the sin's not me. I know that. That's crazy enough just to say that statement. But he said, I know it's not me. I'm a Christian, but I'm not free. I'm still in bondage. I'm not in the spirit. What's wrong with me? I'm crazy. So with respect to being able to walk correctly, he couldn't. He's a paralytic. Do you see that? He knows he is a paralytic. He knows he's lame. He knows he's blind. He knows he cannot see. So, but the thing is, God like touched him. Boom, then you have Romans 8. Now he's able to walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit. He's walking in the Spirit. He learned. Remember in Philippians, he said, I have learned the secret. Wow. I thought like Paul just knew stuff. No, he said, I learned it. I learned the secret. Whether I'm well fed or whether I'm going hungry, whether I'm abounding or whether I'm abased, what did he say? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. Wow.
Hallelujah.
That guy knew.
Thank you, Jesus.
He knew what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. He experienced it. Amen. But he would say, I'm the chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Heareth is words, seeth is doing. To the Hebrew, if you're not doing it, you may as well not say it. If you don't do it, your words are complete. It would be way better not ever to say it. Their language is a picture language. It's activity. It's motion. It's not concepts and ideas. That's the Greek thing. Concepts, ideas. That's okay. You know. One is, the Greek is you could say, is more the saying. The concepts, the ideas, the word, the logos, the word, the truth. But the Hebrew idea is the doing of those things, is the bringing them about. I just love how tight it is. I love how tight that is. It's like, because I'm telling you this, knowledge is very dangerous. I'll tell you, and you don't think about it much. Because the world says knowledge is power. Yeah, it is. It's power to deceive. In the world, knowledge is power to deceive. Power, it is a darkness that deceives man. Oh, you know, I know. Yeah, we know. The wisdom of man, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, they're right. But it's satanic. Absolutely satanic. It's meant to get you up here and everybody else down here. You see that? But God's knowledge is different.
Hallelujah.
Well, Paul said, he said that the eyes of your understanding, that's what we just read, right? In your heart, that kind of knowledge. I mean, how do you teach your heart? That's what we're getting at when we say, yeah, he didn't learn that. He didn't teach himself. No, it was like taught to his heart. The concepts he knew in his head, it wasn't in his heart, so he couldn't do it. It wasn't from the heart. It wasn't from the depths. So you can't do it if it's not from your heart. It's God set it up that way. You're not going to enter in. You're not going to climb up the wall and go over the fence. You're going to go through the door, or you're not going in. And we all want to climb up. We all want to look at me. Look at me, man. No, you can't get in like that. So he said, unless I should be exalted above measure. And there's all those crazy words Paul uses. Exalted, that's pretty high. Above measure, that's pretty high. It's like boom, 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 right? Through the abundance, there's another fairly strong word. Of the revelations, there's another pretty strong word. Not in mere knowledge, but revelation from God in heaven. I was taken up, right? There was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, so he got knowledge, right? He got some unlawful knowledge for even a human being to know. I would say in man's state, it's not lawful for you to know that. If you're unclean, you're not going to know that. You can't know that. It's not allowed. You don't get in. The world knows that. You can't go in and see Obama. You can't walk in there and see him. You're not going in. You're not going to get in. But if you're one of his buddies, hey, what's up? Let's go do something. Whatever. I can't even go see the mayor of Fort Worth. I really can't even go see my neighbor unless I knock. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, but Paul knew this stuff. He knew this stuff, but it's dangerous, man. Dangerous to know that stuff. Satan knew stuff. The glory God gave him, he knew stuff. It says, because of the abundance of your wisdom, you were exalted, you were lifted up, and you corrupted yourself because of your beauty. Why do you think women look in the mirror? It's a picture. The woman is the bride of Christ. She's supposed to make herself lovely and beautiful, but the world has perverted it. Do you see that? Now women are under the pressure to be beautiful. They have to be beautiful. That's not what God said. He said, I make you beautiful. He said, I make you beautiful. I wash you with the water of the Word. You can't make yourself beautiful. But the women, they're a picture of it. It's amazing. When you see that, you'll have more patience with your wife. Because you realize, oh, she's showing me something. She's showing me that even... And some of these people are not even saved. They don't even know what they're doing. But they're doing what's in them. Do you see that? They're still mirroring what God intended. Same thing when a girl's getting married. I mean, it's like they would drive you crazy with every little detail. The spoons. I mean, the setting, how you write the cards, not just, oh, no, we don't need, no, we have to have this kind of card. What's she doing? She's like what the Bible says, the bride has what? Made herself ready. She's made the day perfect. It's going to be perfect. All the car, everything. You see what I'm saying? It's all right there staring us in the face. Can we see it? Do we see it? Do we know it? Do we know it only by the wisdom of men? Or have we seen this prayer Paul's praying for these Ephesians? That ye might know by revelation, by understanding, the eyes of the heart, the depth, the breadth, the width, the height, the love of Jesus, the faith of God, the Word, His who He is, what He is, His inheritance in you. How about an amazing statement like that? Paul said that his that we might know the what is it? What did it say? The yeah, his inheritance in the saints.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are his inheritance.
Hallelujah.
I mean, people look forward to their inheritance, right? They don't spit on it and throw it to the curb, right? No, it's man, it's what their parents labored for. It should be valuable. Exceedingly valuable. If you have a real right relationship, that's valuable. That's your parents' work. Well, that's what God's work is. His work is setting up his inheritance for his son. Right? It's God making the bride ready. What did he do? It said he took Eve out of Adam, and he said he took her out, but then it says he formed her. He not only took her out and she's somehow there, but she's not formed. So he formed her to fit back in Adam somehow. She fits with him. Well, that's what God's doing right now. He's forming the bride so that when he says, okay, Jesus, time to go get the girl, she's going to fit. She's going to fit in. Because remember, there's that Romans 7 problem where, what's wrong with me? Which we were talking about this morning. Where even though we may not look it, but we should look it. We need to look it. We need to be made ready, right? So it's like Paul's got this knowledge, this information, unbelievable stuff. I mean, who even knows what he's really talking about? Seriously? You know what I'm saying? I mean, really and truly? The stuff he says there in Colossians and Ephesians, who even knows that? You can't know that. You can't read this book and know that stuff. You have to know it by the Spirit. You have to see it. You have to touch it, taste it. It's the fruit of heaven. You have to go up there. He wants us to die to this place and our soul, have it cut off in the flesh, and then he wants to resurrect us, which just means the spirit, the soul marries the spirit. And since the spirit's from heaven, that means you're up in heaven because you're eating stuff from heaven. If you're not, then you're eating stuff from the earth, the flesh. And that ought to make you sick. And it's okay. God means for that to make you sick so that you'll go, my God, what's wrong with me? That's Romans 7. He's going, something's still wrong with me. I'm still sick. What is going on here? So that's good. That's God's wisdom. That's all God's wisdom training us up.
Yep.
Right? Well, anyway, Paul got agitated about that. But there was a messenger given to him to keep him from being excessively exalted. Now, who do you think sent that? Do you think the devil sent that? Or do you think God sent that? Well, that would be God.
It says messenger of Satan.
Yeah, messenger of Satan. There was a messenger so that I would not be excessively exalted. So in order that I wouldn't be excessively exalted by this knowledge. You see how knowledge, even spiritual knowledge, is dangerous. Dangerous, man. You wouldn't think it would be, would you? I mean, you wouldn't think that Paul would be in danger. But that's how much we know. God said, no, that's dangerous. Give him a thorn in the flesh to always keep him from floating off into the atmosphere. Give him a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being excessively exalted.
Wow.
He didn't like it. He did not like that. He said three times. Thrice. Why does he say three times? That's a weird number. Why wasn't it four? Why wasn't it seven? I'd have kept asking myself. But you remember Jesus in the garden three times. So three means something. Paul was saying, come on, I don't like this. Get this weakness. Get this. This is no good. I don't like it. He's having a little offense. He's being offended. He's having a little offense there. You see how it's starting? You see how it's He's asking God, get this off of me. Get this. I don't like this. Jesus, in the garden, what did he say to God? He said, Father, I know that all things are possible for you. If this be possible, remove this cup from me. What he's saying is, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, your will be done. You can see how clean he is. He's not lying. He's not saying, oh, I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. And then not do it. He's saying, I don't want to do this, Father, but nevertheless, do your will. He did that three times, same way Paul did. And there was a messenger of Satan knocking on Jesus' door right there.
Yeah.
You're going to the cross. Are you going to do your Father's will? Are you going to be separated from your Father? Are you going to allow this? Or are you going to take offense? Look what Jesus could have done. He could have said, none of these people even understand me, God. Even my own disciples are fixing to all walk off from me. They're all fixing to be what? What did he say to them? He said, you will all be offended in me tonight. Isn't that interesting? All of them will be offended in me. Because I'm going to go to the cross and you're minding the things of men. You're going to go back to your own, is what he said, to your own thing. It's like when Jesus told Peter, when he told the disciples, he said, well, he said, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer. They're going to kill me. Peter, what did it say? Peter took him aside and rebuked him and said, that shouldn't be to you, God. What did Jesus say to him? It's amazing. It's interesting how he said it. He said, and Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art what? An offense to me. Peter was an offense to the righteousness of God. For you mind the things of men and not the things of God. Wow, when you start seeing that word, it's all over the place in there. It's all over the place. As a matter of fact, it's like look at John. Look at John. Jesus said, there's no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. That's up against Abraham. That's up against Moses. That's up against David. That's up against some bad dudes. Saying none greater than this guy right here. But you know what? When John was in prison, what happened? He said he sent some of his disciples because things just weren't looking too hot for John. He probably had a different idea, man. Hey, man, I did say that I must decrease and he must increase, but, you know, I'm thinking that I'm going to have a seat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've been a faithful man. Jesus is going to tear this thing up, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Well, it started not looking so good. And so, you remember that God told him, he said, hey, the one you see the Holy Spirit descend on, that's the one. Mm-hmm. He saw that. He saw all that stuff. Hello? Think of Israel. Israel saw the 10 plagues. I mean, whoever saw anything like that? I mean, we haven't seen stuff like that. And yet, it's so awesome. They're going, man. Man, we are free. We are out from underneath bondage. We're going to ride on the high places of the earth now. And where'd they go? Right out into the wilderness. How do you think that went over? Just read the story. Right? I mean, that's absurd, isn't it? Is that absolutely absurd? You might get offended there a little bit. There may be a little room. I'm not saying a lot, but there's a little room for a potential offense. Like, there's no food out here, dude. There's no water out here, man. You idiot. It's like when Jesus was in the boat sleeping, right? These guys, half these guys are fishermen, and Jesus is over there sleeping. How do you think that went over? You can see it in the inflection, in the words. Hey, hey God, have you noticed we're sinking right here, bro? You idiot. That's what it is. Get up and help us. We're going to perish. You see how there's like lots of opportunity for offense. Big time. Big time. Matter of fact, if you're not offended, I say you're not walking with God. Because when he's going to grow you up, he's going to confront your flesh. And since you're still eating from that, it's going to offend you because he's coming against it to destroy it, to cut it off from you so that you're free from it. And it's offensive to us. Because there's good stuff there. My God, Lord, are you kidding? All of it? You're kidding, right? You want to sacrifice all the lambs and everything? I mean, those are good things, aren't they? We could use that. No, I said kill all of it. It's a picture, right? No cancer left. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We don't get it. We get offended. So then we do what Israel did. We back up. We're in a marriage and we're going, well, I was 100% in, but I'm gonna have to tell you, I'm 90% now. This didn't work out the way I thought. I'm 90, you know. So in a human marriage, it's like, then the other person, they'll adjust down. But God never adjusts down. He stays at 100, but he makes judgments to discipline and teach his wife that he knows what he's doing and that he loves her. But a lot of times she doesn't see it, right? So, you know, you just keep moving down the scale, and then before long, there's no percentage left. And then people just, they still love the other person, so they're confused. They're going, this is making me crazy. I love this person, but I hate this person. I would like to, well, no, I don't want to do that, but it's close. It's very close sometimes. So it's like, that's what Israel did to God. She just kept backing up. She got offended. She said, you know what? Since I've been serving you, I don't have any... The crops and all that junk's no good. It's no good. All the nations, they got more than we got. Blah, blah, blah. So they would back up from God. They would worship him. They would say with their lips. Remember? It says they worship me with their lips, but their hearts they keep far from me. And if you're not loving God with your heart, you can't really do it. You know what I'm saying? You can say it. That's that say and do. But if it's not in your heart, I mean, we have statements for it. His heart just wasn't really in it. You know what I'm saying? His heart wasn't really in it. He's not going to do it. When it comes down to it, he's not going to do it. His heart's not in it. Say, do. Say, do. Say, do. It's not what you say. It's what you do. Right? So these offenses, and we really don't talk about them much, but I tell you what, I've been very offended at God. And I mean not for a week, for like maybe 2 weeks. Like maybe 2 years. Like maybe 2 decades. And I'm trying to work all that out. Because I don't understand... He's not easy to understand. It doesn't work out the way you think. It's not going to go that way. So Paul said 3 times, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. That's what Jesus was doing, right? He was saying, Lord, I don't want to do this. Can this... You can do anything. Can we not do this? But nevertheless, do your will. So he was clean, he was pure. But Paul's not really. He's saying, I'm not saying do your will. I don't want this. But then
And he said unto me, God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I mean, this guy is crazy. Look what he said right here. Therefore, I take pleasure. He's not just trying to make it through. Yeah. He's not just trying, my God, man, this is rough. Being a Christian, this is real. I mean, I see it in the Bible. It is going to be tough, but I was kind of hoping to kind of, you know, be a better Christian and not have to, like, you know, I mean, I thought I was a little better than average, you know. But I seem to be running into all the same junk all these other guys are running into. He was saying, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
He's lost his mind.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he has. He now has the mind of Christ. Yep. Yeah, he's married. His soul's not married to his flesh anymore. See, at the start it was. He's saying, I don't want to suffer. I shouldn't be weak. I'm a great apostle. I see the greatest things of any man ever seen in the world. What's this devil doing right here that I can't overcome? Because God said, no, you have to be weak. See, he's already thinking. He's already wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? He's already wrong. In his soul, he's off the course. So God's going to have to set him straight, and he's getting offended. He's getting offended. That's what I was going to say about John. What happened? John's an unbelievable guy. He's like Paul, really. And so John heard what Jesus was doing. He's got some of his disciples. He said, go ask him. Just see if he's the guy. See if he's the one or not. But I thought you knew he was the one. I thought God told you that the one you see the Holy Spirit come down on, that's the one. Well, he did know that. He knew that in his heart. But his soul was still married to some flesh, right? Still married, still eating, drinking from that. So he sent him, and Jesus, here's what Jesus said to him. He said, tell John. You know, that's the same John that when Elizabeth went to see Mary, that was the same John that when he, a baby in the womb, heard the voice of Mary, he knew it was the anointing. He already knew it was God. And it says he leapt in the womb. What if he called himself the friend of Jesus, the bridegroom's friend? This guy is a friend of Jesus Christ. A true friend to the death. And yet he's going, what's wrong? I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening. And if you think me and you are going to walk with God and not have those exact same problems, no, you're going to have those problems. And they're good. They're good. They're good. But we should be open. To me, the church is offended at God. We're offended at the Lord because it's like, you know, you first get saved, you're all fired up. Man, you're going to go read your Bible. You're going to go witness. Where'd that go? Where is that? Now we're just kind of show up and sing some songs and see what I'm saying? Why did that happen? What happened? And that's typed in a marriage, right? I mean, at first it's like a honeymoon. They even call it that. Oh, this is great. But then you go out right after the honeymoon, you go out in the wilderness. Right when you show back up, you got to pay some bills. Right? Yeah, you got some bills to pay and, you know, you got some stuff, your in-laws to satisfy, you know. You got some complexity in there. And it goes right off into the wilderness for maybe like 20 or 30 years. There's good times in there.
And you know, if you're honest, you stay with it. But if you're also honest, you're going, this is not exactly what I... What happened right here, man? This is... Well, I'm not going to say what you say in your own heart, in your own self, right?
Yeah.
But if you hang in there, after a while, you get a nugget and you go, my God, this is wonderful. It's just a little touch God will give you, and you realize this is beautiful. Wow, this is unbelievable. But it was after you spit on it. It was after you misunderstood it. It's after you didn't see it. Because God was working on stuff. He was removing logs out of your eye. He was adjusting you, not the other person. Not the other person, you. You know, so, and if you keep going, it happens more. Like people say, well, you hadn't been married. I say, well, I have been married, and I've been a bad wife. I've been a really bad wife, but I hung out. I hung through the desert. I survived it. I survived that. I don't know how I did, and I'm starting to see that I just didn't know what I was talking about. I was trying to tell God what to do. I was like Paul, telling God what to do. God, get this devil away from me. Come on, man. God doesn't do it, so we get mad. Right? Come on. Come on, that's a marriage, right? That's what happens in marriages, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah, that is what happens in marriages. So people, they were at 100%, now they're down to 92. Then the other one goes down to 88. You went down to 88. You're not going to say it, but I know you did. I can feel it. Right, I'm going down to 84. You know, and it's this unspoken war. But that's all good, because you can't make your marriage work anyway. What do you know? What are you going to do? Because if your soul is still married to the body of death, which is from Romans 7, where Paul just doesn't know what's wrong with him, he should be able to do it. He's got the knowledge. But he has that problem. He can't do it. He can say it, but he can't do it. He can't do it. It's driving him nuts, which is good. That's what it should do to us.
Yep.
But a lot of people right there in Romans 7, they get offended. They get offended at God. And we're all going to get offended, but just don't walk off. Get offended in your marriage, just don't walk off. Just let God work that out. Like with Paul, let God work that out. He knows. If people would just let God work that out, they'd look up at their marriage whenever, 40 or 50 or whatever, they'd go, my God, this is special. This is really special. This is amazing. How did this work? How did this happen? And there's real life there. Real, and you know it. Like right now, I'm starting to get a little bit of life by the Spirit, and I can feel it, and I'm going, wow, there's no life in me. I've already been out in the desert. That's what the desert's for, right? In Deuteronomy, what did he say to him? He said, I took you out in the desert, what? To prove you, to know what was in your heart, to humble you, and to teach you that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And the word there, that word also can be translated as produce. Well, that's interesting. Why would that word be produce? Produce is what is done, right? Production is what is done. What does it say? God spoke and it was what? Done. Say, do. Say, do. That's God. Say, do. Say, do. You don't live by every word, you don't live by bread only, but by every word. And now you're back to this intercession idea. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, he said, hey man, he said, Satan has asked excessively. There's another one of those darn superlatives. Satan has asked excessively. He's begged. The word means begged for you to be sifted like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail.
Amen.
He has asked it. He has asked excessively that he might give you a chance to be offended at God, because God didn't come through, because God didn't establish the kingdom, because God let you fail, because God ruined your hopes. Do you see that? But Jesus said, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. I interceded for you. That's what Paul's doing right here. He's interceding for this church. He's groaning, travailing for this church. That's the Spirit of Jesus in him. That's not him. He's married to Christ, right? He's a bride, and Jesus is interceding. It says Jesus intercedes for us, right? In Hebrews it says Jesus intercedes, but in Romans it says the Spirit intercedes too, right? So the Spirit's interceding, Jesus is interceding. They're speaking these words into the bride's heart that she speaks through her heart out to the world, and there comes Christ. She's still birthing Christ. She's still birthing Christ out of the intercessions of Christ. So Jesus is saying to Peter, you're going to be offended. He told them, y'all are all going to be offended in me tonight. And they were. And Peter said, oh no, if they're all are, I won't. I'll never be. He said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to be. So it's like, the reason the church doesn't have a voice today is because at least the ones who should have gotten past their offenses and been matured and purified have not either that, or God's got them hid in the cave yet, which could well be true too. David's in a cave until he comes out, right? He's running from Saul till he comes out. But let me tell you what, we got giants in our land today. And I mean, they mean business. They've been killing our children, killing us. We're destroyed. We are destroyed. Nothing but lies, nothing but confusion, nothing but rubbish and garbage. And Saul, which is the good-looking guy who's head and shoulders above everybody else, that would be the ministers, is shaking in the corner because they can't do. They can say, but they can't go out there and cut that guy's head off. Oh, we don't do that. My God, boy. That's Old Testament stuff. We don't treat people like that. Where'd you get that idea? Have you read your Bible? Have you read the New Testament? Jesus, wherever he went, it was a hurricane wherever he went. When he came through, when he moved through, it was, everything was gone. He was an F5. He tore all the buildings right off the foundations, and they were gone when he left.
Amen.
Do you see that? That's why the demons would cry out in the meetings. We know who you are. You are the Son of the Living God, and he would say, "Shut up." It was a war wherever he went. He had authority. Because he was interceding for men. He was an intercessor. He was laying down his life. He was interceding. His life was an offering. He was worthy. He was worthy to do what he was doing. Wherefore doth my Father love me? He said that one day. He said that. Oh, there's a reason God loves? No, we just thought he just loved everybody and you can just kind of do whatever you want. Just kind of go up to heaven one day. No. Where'd you get that idea? That's not God. Jesus said, why does my Father love me? Because I lay down my soul. I don't eat the world's food. I don't marry the world. I have the same temptations, but I never eat that apple. I don't eat that fruit, and I don't bear fruit of death. I'm always abiding. My soul is abiding in my spirit. That's why a soul's asleep in the boat. That's what that means. When you're asleep, your soul is at rest, right? It's a picture. His soul was not troubled. He wasn't trying to save himself. He wasn't concerned. He knows the boat can't go down. His soul is not awake to the world. Not saving his life. They were trying to save their lives. Which is what Peter told him. Peter said, that shouldn't be to you. No way. Save yourself is what he was saying to him. You see that? What did the Pharisees say to Jesus? What did they say when he was on the cross? He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Or they said, if you are the Son of God, come down off the cross. Save yourself. Eat of this other mind, the mind of man. Then you're an offense to God. But if you eat of God, you're an offense to the world. So here we sit, here we stand, and I'm encouraging you, because I know people are offended. If you love Jesus, you've got offenses. If you don't, I don't know what planet you live on. You've got offenses. You've got things that just didn't work out right. And especially if you really love God, because you just go in there and you're asking God and you're working hard and well, yeah, God, I did my part. Isn't that what happens in a marriage? Hey, I did my part. What's wrong with you? I did my part. Man, it's such a perfect picture. It'll just grind you down into pieces, man. Make you crazy. Because there's love there, but there's also a... You know what I mean? How'd that happen? What is that? It's a picture. It's a picture. It's a picture. God's given us a picture. So I'm just encouraging you. You got to be real with God on that. It would take a load off of you because we're just under a lot of pressure. And just say, you know what, God? Yeah, I am offended. I'm mad. I am not happy about whatever. That's what God was saying. Hey, God, I don't like this devil. I mean, I'm not supposed to like the devil, right? That's right, son. Well, then get him off of me.
Yeah.
Well, you don't quite understand. You not quite got that down right. Anyway, so here's how we're going to talk to the world. If you will go in your closet and let God deal with those offenses, and they're painful, man. They're really painful. They're painful. People who got divorced, there's a lot of pain there, man. Because it didn't work. And they tried. It may not look like it, but they, in their own way, they did. They tried, man. And that's the highest thing. If that fails, there's no more meaning, right? I mean, if that fails, what else? If that doesn't work, forget it. Who cares? I already lost the thing that mattered to me. Well, if we're taking God seriously like that, we're going to lose that relationship too. It's going to go sour at times. It's just not going to be right. And how we handle that is real key. It's like just be honest, be real. Be real. Don't cover it up. Don't hide it. Don't keep it from God. And if we'll do that, here's the way to say it. I'm not going to listen to people say, yes, I've done that. I went to the prayer closet and I got that handled. I'm going to listen to your words. What am I going to do? Say and do. I'm going to watch what you do and what you say. And I'm going to do the same thing with me. It's not like I'm going, you're worthless. Look at that. No, it's a good thing. It's good. Don't you see? That's good. That's healthy. See, if somebody's going to lie about the doing, then they haven't dealt with their offense yet. They're lying. Do you see that? That means they're still loving darkness rather than light. Why? They hate the light. They won't come to the light lest their deeds be exposed that they're evil. That's an offense to us. Do you see that? Do you see how we might be offended if God showed us that we actually had a darkness in us that hated Him? It's not us, but it can control us. It can keep us from giving ourselves totally to Him. We can still love our lives. We can still say we're Christians, but not do. You see it?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that, man. It's okay. Just We ought to have an environment where we can figure out how to work through that. You do that in a marriage, right? But in church somehow, man, you don't talk that real in church. You know what I mean? You don't do that in church. No, do that in church. Let's talk about it. Let's open ourselves up. If you don't do that in a marriage, you're not going anywhere. You're just going to sit there. It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up. But who wants to talk about it? No. Another thing I saw, and I'm probably gone on too long, so I'm going to quit, but I know you want to say something. What was it? I can't remember. This stuff is real.
Yes.
This stuff is really real. This is real, basic, real stuff that we need. We need to do this. We need to, because you know what? It's like the world needs an authority. The world needs a David to stand up and say, you know what, ma'am? You ain't coming here and doing that. You're not coming here and doing that. That's what Paul was doing.
Yeah.
Wherever he went, that's what Jesus did. I was telling you, when he showed up, he just wiped all the foundation, just like a F5 went through. Mm-hmm. He spoke the truth, and it revealed darkness, and it just swept it all away. And then if they had destroyed all the civilization of man, all the buildings, it's all gone. Anything you're hiding behind, gone. Any lies you're telling, gone. That's why you get offended at God, because he wants... No little kid likes to be... Nobody likes to be exposed. I mean, like if I jerked your clothes off of you right now, you probably wouldn't be too happy about that. But God doesn't do it to humiliate you. He does it to heal you. Amen. He kills to make alive. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. That's what Jesus was doing. When he's talking to the Pharisees, he cut those people down. He was merciless toward those people, man. I mean, brutal. And if it's like I told my mom, I said, Mom, I said, you're wrong on certain things. But I said, you know what? I can't prove it yet. I said, I hope to God before you're dead that I am faithful enough to God that I can prove. What am I saying there? I'm not going to say it. I'm going to do it. I told her, you don't have to believe me. There's a million people talking to you. You know the whole Bible. I can't tell you anything, but I hope I can prove it. I hope I can prove it. So it's like, that's what we need. Jesus proved it. He proved it. He walked through there, man, and he proved it. What do you think Moses did? It's like I remember that movie. It was God's Not Dead, yeah. And it was that college prof.
Yeah,
I was watching that movie, and the prof's, you know, the kid, you know, and it's cool. It's a good movie.
Yeah,
but he said, "You can't prove there's a God," and the guy said, "Well, that's true." I thought, "What are you talking about? Where'd you get that idea?"
Mm-hmm.
That's the church today, because of the offense, we're backed up and we're not walking in the Spirit with the Lord, so we can't prove anything. Because we can say, but we can't what? We can't reach up into heaven and bring the fruit down. Love, power, the kingdom of God. I mean, like what those people did for real. Not talk, real, man. So it's like I just said, that's rubbish. Moses proved it. You tell me Moses didn't prove there was a God? Oh, yeah, he did. Jesus did. Paul did. All of them did.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. But how do you prove it? It's when you stop abiding here in the flesh. That gets cut off. That's what's hard on us. We don't like that. We that's where we get offended. That's where our offense is. Paul in Romans 7, he's clean there. Because right there he's going, what's wrong with me? I mean, I know the sin. He said two times, he said, that sin's not me. So he knew that much, but he said, I can't, I'm still a slave to it. I can't beat this stuff. What's wrong with me, man? So see, but right there, when God starts dealing with that stuff, most people just, they just back up. And they slowly just back out. They just back out. Don't do that. Don't do that. We should talk about it. We should realize it's a very natural part of the whole process, and it's good. It's a good thing. If you're not offended, I'd say you never heard God. I'd say the second you hear God, that's when you're fixing to be offended. Because it's not going to make no sense to you. No, it's just not going to make any sense to you. To me. It doesn't make sense. Right? It doesn't. John's position in prison, he ought to be exalted above everybody. Here he is sitting in prison. He may lose his head or something. Who knows? Right? That could happen to him. It's possible. Right? So we're all in the same boat. It's the same thing. Our offenses, we have to fight that out with God. Don't cover that up. Don't lie about that. Open up to the Lord. It's okay. He knows that stuff. But I'm going to just say one more thing. So when John asked Jesus about that, Jesus said, well, go tell John. And remember, John is like Jesus' friend. I mean, this is tight. This is a beloved relationship. And what did Jesus say? He said, well, go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. But then he said one more thing. He said, John, the signs are there. The signs, this you know, this is right. What did he say after that? He said, and blessed is he
not
who is not offended in me. He gave John a personal message. Mm-hmm. He knew that cost. He knew the confusion. He knew the pain. Amen. And he told John, trust me. Trust me. Don't. I know you're wavering, but I guarantee you, that was an intercession from God for John.
Yeah.
That word.
Yeah.
That word, that living word kept that guy. Because he couldn't keep himself. So,
hallelujah.
We need that. We need this stuff. Whatever this is, it is.
Amen.
But let's learn how to be like David. Think about David. Don't you think he would have been offended? Saul, I'm the king and Saul's already tried to kill me twice.
Yeah.
And now I'm in caves. Hello. Don't you think? Read the Psalms. Read the Psalms, man. There's tons of that stuff in there, right? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope in God.
Yep.
Oh Lord, your ways have gone over me. I'm ruined. I'm finished. Oh God. That's what he's talking about. He's working out those offenses. He's working out all that stuff. It's his diary. He's talking about it. It's there on the pages. It's on the pages. It's okay. It's normal. That's a man's heart. That's gut-wrenching stuff. There's hard things in that. Let's do this, right? Let's do this. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Spirit. Come on. You can do it. Keep going. Take another step. Take another step. It's crazy. Why would you take another step? Trust God. Come on, John. Come on, John, you know. In your heart, you know. Put your soul under. Come on, take another step. Breathe, take a breath. Blessed is he who is not offended in me.